Happy Friday. We've made it to the end of the week. The heat has broken, and it's great to be with you on KCMO Talk Radio. Mayor Quinton Lucas representing Kansas City at the White House today. Yes, yes, yes. That is some big news. Now, geez, Quinton Lucas, he's got to get a dual residency there for Washington, D.C. That guy, he loves D.C. He loves rubbing elbows. He loves chumming it up with all the hot shots in the Biden administration, trying to work his way up the political food chain, so to speak. And he better enjoy it. Tell you right now, he's got about two and a half years to try to chummy up with the people in power before things turn over fairly quickly here. So mayor's got to get on board, and he's got to try to cozy up to the right folks in the White House, because if not, it's going to be over here in about 2.5 years. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's kind of like speed dating. He needs to kind of get around to each table.
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
No, only 5 minutes.
He's got to get to every room in that White House that he can. It's funny. So what is the mayor doing there? The mayor is being joined, by the way, by our interim police chief, Joe Maben, for a public safety roundtable. The mayor announced this on Twitter yesterday, saying that President Biden is hosting mayors and police leaders from cities across the U.S. to discuss investments and plans for public safety in their communities. The mayor went on to say yesterday in this statement, "We look forward to sharing and obtaining ideas with mayors, law enforcement leaders, the president and his staff that will make Kansas City and our communities nationwide a safer place." So just recently, if you look at some of the trips, Quinton Lucas was in D.C. last month. April 11th, he was there when Biden announced his plans for additional gun control measures on ghost guns and other firearm regulations. Now, I thought that was supposed to create a utopia when it came to violent crime. I guess not. I thought, geez, I thought if you just kind of got rid of ghost guns and banned the big bad AR-15, it was all going to go away. No, oh, no, it's not that. Oh, geez, gosh, okay. Well, anyway, the cities that are going to be there include mayors and police leaders from Houston, Detroit, Tampa, Tulsa, and Toledo. Now, what's interesting is I was just looking through some lists in terms of the most violent cities in America, and Detroit, Kansas City are always on that list. Houston finds itself in a top 20 list I saw from CBS News. Tulsa has had its problems as well. So this is like putting together a bunch of people from The Biggest Loser and saying, hey, it's time for us to figure out a healthy diet. That's what this feels like in many ways. I'm not sure if this is accomplishing exactly what they're thinking it's going to accomplish. But you know what? Anyone who's got some brilliant answer, I'm happy to hear it. But something tells me you don't really need to go to Washington, D.C. to figure out how to fix the crime problem in Kansas City. Remember, Quinton Lucas made a pledge when he became mayor. He said, I'm going to get homicides below 100 per year. 100 per year is what he said when he was elected mayor in 2019. And people got on him because the first 2 years didn't go anywhere close to as planned. And I said at the time, I said, hey, this is not something that's going to happen in a year or two. Quinton Lucas or anybody doesn't walk into the mayor's office and suddenly people are like, ooh, that guy's scary. I'm going to stop shooting people now. Like, that's not how it works. It takes time. But let's be honest. The trend is not good. Quinton Lucas got into office middle of 2019. In 2019, Kansas City, Missouri had 151 homicides. That was up from 138 in 2018. In 2020, there were 179 homicides in Kansas City, Missouri. That was an all-time high, an all-time record. In 2021, we got down to 157. And in 2022, year-to-date, we have 51. That is basically on pace with where we were at this point the last 2 years, when we had 52 and 53, respectively. So there's very little evidence that things are trending in the right direction on this front for the mayor of Kansas City. Now, he will say, well, you know, we don't even have local control, which he fought for, obviously, vehemently over the last couple of years and lost in court. And, you know, that is true. There is no local political control of the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department. And based on how the past 2 years went, I say thank goodness there is none of that. But this is where the mayor got himself into a bind when he ran for office back in 2019. There was no point in ever making this kind of prediction. If you were going to say, hey, I'm hamstrung, like we all knew what the system was here in Kansas City, Missouri, when it came to how the police department is run and operated, right? When it comes to how the police department is run and operated, this board of commissioners has been around forever. This was not news to anybody when, you know, Quentin Lucas or anybody else ran for mayor of Kansas City, Missouri. We all knew the system that was in place. He was on the city council. So he knew as well as anybody what the system was. So to now use the system as a reason for why, in part, some of the goals maybe haven't been achieved is not fair, which is why when you go back, 3 years now, that promise or that goal was a mistake. Now, I guarantee next week when he comes on the show on Thursday, if I ask him about that, he'll say, no, you've got to be, he'll say it was not a mistake to make that goal. He said, you know, when you run for office, you got to have big goals and big dreams, and sometimes you come up short, but, you know, you got to keep plugging along every day. The mayor and I know each other pretty well, so I feel like I can predict some of what the answers would be at this point. I'm guessing that's what he would say. No, I still have these lofty goals. It's important to have these lofty goals, even if you don't achieve them. And that's fine to an extent. That's fine. But I do wonder what all this means come 1 year from now. You know, the mayor is running for re-election. We told you earlier this week that there appears to be at least maybe one credible candidate in Lauren Arthur. She is a state senator from up north who could end up running against the mayor of Kansas City. Now, she's a Democrat. She's kind of a run-of-the-mill standard Democrat. No one's expecting some conservative Republican to ever become mayor. But if she's someone who's cozier with the police community than Mayor Lucas currently is, then she's got a chance. She's got a shot. I'm not sure she's going to do it, but reports are she is seriously considering it, and she's got access to the right donors to make a serious bid against the mayor of Kansas City. So this issue of violent crime, the mayor understands, wisely so, is not going away. It will be a defining issue in the Kansas City, Missouri mayor's race in a year. And part of the reason I believe the mayor ends up in places like Washington, D.C. now twice in the past month is to not just cozy up, as I was kind of saying tongue-in-cheek earlier, with Democratic leaders. I think that's certainly a part of it. But I also think for him, it's important to come back and say, I'm trying, I'm doing what I can, and I'm attempting to get this thing corrected. That's what I believe a big part of the mission is here. Do I think anything comes out of this? No. No, I don't. Because until the people who were in charge of our biggest cities over the past 2 years admit that their failed attempts, and some of them had successful attempts, but their failed attempts at demeaning police departments, admonishing police officers as inherently racist, and trying to defund them, until they admit that those are failed policies that got people killed all over the country, I don't know how you turn course. I just don't know how you do it. 5767710. We are on the text line, as we are each and every morning from 6 to 10 at 816-576-7710. By the way, we're going to have Josh Hawley on later this morning. The Missouri U.S. Senator will be here at 8:30, so it's a ways off, but hang tight, because that's going to be a good one right here on KCMO Talk Radio. Next, wow, Laura Kelly signed the sports betting bill in Kansas, and not only that, sports betting could be here sooner than you think. Like, try the Chiefs opener, maybe, against the Cardinals, which we found out about last night. We got the details on where things are going in Kansas on that front. And in Missouri, it is officially dead. All that and more coming up. Pete Mundo on a Friday morning here on KCMO Talk Radio. So Governor Kelly, after playing things a little close to her vest, I think we all knew she was going to come around on this. Laura Kelly, the governor of Kansas, has signed the sports betting bill for the Sunflower State. So sports betting is coming to Kansas. And here's the part that is even shocking to me when I heard it yesterday. It is entirely possible that you could be able to bet on the Chiefs opening game September 11th in Arizona against the Cardinals. Because there was a report yesterday that Laura Kelly and the state of Kansas, this will become law, by the way, sports betting will become law on July 1st. Now, you've got to implement the entire system in the place. And that's where a lot of people thought, hey, this is going to take until January of next year. But now, all the reports I saw yesterday said that she's going to be possibly pushing this thing to be done and to be able to be betting on games by week one of the NFL season. I love it.
I love it, too. The Chiefs are a three-point favorite right now at Arizona. I was looking at that yesterday. And, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is out, so I might take the Chiefs on that.
Well, Mark's already trying to play. Easy does it there, Mark. John, we're going to keep a close eye on this guy. Jeez.
No bets before June. That's a show rule.
Right? And before 8 a.m., please. All right. John's got to keep a close eye over Mark's shoulder there. If I see this guy degenerate gambling, you know, parlays and everything like that Friday during football season, going to have to check in and have a problem. But, you know, that's wow. So, all right. We already got the Chiefs as three-point favorites against the Cardinals in week one. How about that? Now, in Missouri, it's all but dead. So, because the legislative session ends today. So, it's not happening in Missouri. You're going to have to wait another year on the Missouri side to get sports betting. So, now Missouri is going to be surrounded by five states where sports betting will be legal. So, how about a round of applause for the Goobers down in Jeff City, huh? Way to go there. Way to go, guys and gals. I mean, while you're busy screaming at each other over maps, which, yes, are important, but literally Republican supermajorities were too busy fighting each other over maps over the last 4 months to do something as simple as sports betting. Now, the reason I bring that up is not because, like, I'm obsessed with it, but because it's such an easy thing to do. It's such an easy win to take and to get. And they failed so colossally at it. In Jeff City. It's not even the heavy lifting things, right, that I would have loved to see them accomplish. Things like more educational choice, free choice on things like, you know, schooling, where you go, making sure dollars follow kids. I mean, just like basic things like that, that I would have liked to have seen more of, they dropped the ball on. But that's a bigger lift. You know, those things are more complex. Sports betting, you've got 35 other states around the country that have it, right? You have a blueprint to make it work, and it's pretty much a bipartisan issue at this point, and they couldn't even accomplish that. So yesterday, I put up this meme on Twitter, at Pete Mundo. It's a picture of a donkey's ass, and it's stuck in a fence. And I wrote, here's a live look at the Missouri legislature as Kansas officially moves ahead with legalized sports betting with the governor's signature. And it's just this donkey stuck in a fence and you're just staring at his rear end. I mean, that's the Missouri legislature in a nutshell here over the last few months. It is unbelievable. And I did see something from Caleb Rowden, who is the Senate president, and we got to maybe get him back on the show on Monday. He's the majority leader, excuse me. He said last night, he said there were times that he went home this session embarrassed of what happened in the Senate. Going forward, and by the way, he should be. Going forward, he said, to make this place, meaning Jefferson City, work, we're going to have to build bridges regarding relationships. Well, he should have been embarrassed. I mean, everybody who operates down there should be embarrassed. And that includes the entire legislature and, yes, the governor's office. Absolutely should be embarrassed about how little they got done in Jeff City, and we'll ask the governor, we'll invite the governor on next week now that the legislative session is over, and I'm sure there'll be spins on, well, you know, we got this done, we got that done, and then, you know, don't point the finger at me, I'm just the governor. I mean, geez, I'm only the governor. They are the ones who are supposed to send me bills. But there is a clear lack of leadership in Jeff City from the top on down. Sir, I mean, the top on, and that's not just at the governor's office. I mean, leadership in the House, leadership in the Senate. There is none in Jeff City. And that's part of how you end up with such a failure of a legislative session down there. And that's there's no other way to spin it. That's what this past session, these last 5-6 months have been. Lack of leadership, failure to get substantial things done, and infighting amongst Republicans, while Democrats, who have zero pull in Jeff City, sit there and just pop the popcorn. That's what they've been doing. Now, speaking of sports betting with the Chiefs schedule, this is the hard, and this is like a fact, the hardest schedule in the NFL. There are 32 NFL teams. This is the 32nd easiest schedule, meaning it's the hardest schedule. Whew. What's the worst stretch here?
First time in NFL history, their first 8 games are going to be against teams with winning records from last year.
How about that?
And then after that, they get to play the Rams and the Bengals, who were in the Super Bowl last year.
Jeez, you're
so
right.
There's no break. There's one break against the Jaguars. That's it.
The only break is against the Jaguars. How you feeling back there, John?
I haven't gotten into it. You know, things change so much. Injuries, yeah. Trades, yada, yada. So.
Yeah.
You know, I'm excited. Basically, I look at it and I go, okay, the bye week's kind of in the middle. So
yes.
I like that for the team.
Yes. Bye week is
like
Halloween weekend.
The end of the season, what that Denver here and that at the Raiders.
Yes.
Or
yes.
That Bass Ackward, I can't remember.
No, you got it right. Got home right. In week 17 against.
Yeah, tell me those games won't mean anything.
The Broncos on the road against the Raiders.
Yeah.
Here's what I don't like as someone that does what I do for a living and what we do for a living. Too many damn night games.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. You got the home opener on Thursday night. Then you've got Sunday night week 4 at Tampa. Then you have week 9 Sunday night here against the Titans. You've got a Sunday night game at the Broncos in December.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's too much. It's too much.
It's Thursday night home opener.
Yes.
Right. And you've got 4 Sundays and a Monday. Actually, I have a Sunday night and a Monday night game back to back there.
That, yes, exactly right.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. It's too much. It's too much.
Boy.
But you know what? It's the price you pay for being good.
You know,
yeah,
right?
Primetime games.
So it's like you can play noon every Sunday if you want, but you know that means you're winning 2-3 games a year.
Instead of first world problems, I guess we have to say first place problems.
Oh! Yeah. Boom! I like that for a Friday, John. Well done. First place problems instead of first world problems. Speaking of first world problems, I don't know about you, but I feel like half the people in my neighborhood, their ACs blew out this week. Let's go, Brandon. We'll get to that and more coming up next. Happy Friday! And it's not just any Friday. The Chiefs schedule came out last night. Pumped about that, although it is the hardest schedule in the NFL. The heat, the 90-degree heat is breaking. And not only that, Jen Psaki is out as White House press secretary. Let's go.
Woo!
Woo! How about that, baby? After a year and a half at the podium, Jen Psaki's hanging him up as White House press secretary today, the last day. Come on! Oh, man. So, in honor, in memory of Jen Psaki, who, by the way, is leaving for MSNBC. So talk about going from one sinking ship to another, by the way. Go from the Biden White House to MSNBC and call that an upgrade. Jeez. But anyway, so she's going to MSNBC. Karine Jean-Pierre is going to be taking over as of Monday. But I had some fun this morning before the show. I was going through some of Jen Psaki's greatest hits, shall we say, if that's what you want to call them. Guys, so
favorites.
I put Mark to work this morning. I could have had 24 clips, but I said, you know, I only got a 4-hour show here. So I got 10 clips from Jen Psaki over the last year and a half or so that were some of my favorites from her time up at the podium as the White House press secretary. And let's start off, let's go back to July 4th of last year. When the White House was bragging about the price of hot dogs coming down, baby. Here we go. Jen Psaki's greatest hits.
Official White House account tweeted yesterday, the cost of a 4th of July cookout is down 16 cents from last year. $0.16.
There has been a reduction in some of the costs of key components of the 4th of July, a 4th of July barbecue. So that was what the tweet was noting.
So does the White House think that 16 cents off a barbecue has more of an impact on people's lives than gas being a dollar more this time?
I would say if you don't like hot dogs, you may not care of the reduction of costs. You don't have to like hot dogs.
Can't buy a hot dog for 16 cents.
That what we are most focused on is the fact that we've created now more than 3 million jobs since the president took office. That's what we're focused on, and continuing to implement additional components of his economic Build Back Better agenda.
Somehow that leads into talking about 3 million jobs, which, by the way, no one created 3 million jobs. You were replacing jobs that the government artificially got rid of during the pandemic. There was no job creation. It was job replacement. But somehow you get called out on bragging about the cost of a barbecue being down 16 cents. And you're like, well, yeah, I mean, hot dogs are down maybe somewhere. But hey, 3 million jobs are back. Woo. All right.
Yeah. A key component.
Yeah.
your barbecue.
Oh, gosh.
I remember that.
I don't even want to know what it's going to look like this year. I don't think that tweet's going to be going out this year. Last year, they were bragging about the cost of a barbecue being down 16 cents. Now it's going to be up like $16 per person.
Yeah, you know, Putin's war.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. All right. Yeah,
they're Ukraine's a hot dog basket of Europe over there.
Oh, gosh. Yes, the ultra MAGA folks are trying to put out the cost of hot dogs. All right, what else do we have from the best of Jen Psaki as White House press secretary? She's hanging them up.
You're taking requests?
Yeah, I'm taking requests. 5767710. I got 10 clips here that I got to spread out throughout the morning. I just played the barbecue one. Oh, this is good. How about this? Gosh, boy, this year and a half has felt like 15 years, has it not? I forgot about this. This is from April 23rd of last year, 2021, when you actually had the White House advocating for making Washington, D.C. its own state. I forgot about this.
Well, President Biden strongly supports D.C. statehood, and our administration will work with Congress to get it passed. We put out a statement of administration policy in strong support of H.R. 51 just this morning. His view is that the denial of voting representation in Congress and local self-government to the 712,000 residents of our nation's capital violates two of our nation's founding principles: no taxation without representation and consent of the governed. And he will continue to advocate for this passing.
I totally forgot that these people, 3 months after they got into the White House, literally like almost 3 months to the day, April 23rd of last year. By the way, a White House that got in to office and beat Donald Trump on the notion and idea that they were going to bring back norms and settle down the temperature in the room, then advocated 90 days later for creating a 51st state in Washington, D.C. Like, I totally forgot about how quickly, and didn't really forget, but forget some of the examples, I guess, on how quickly they did a total 180 on what they promised leading up to their time to get elected. D.C. statehood, last April 2021, one of Jen Psaki's greatest hits. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Beatles, Pete. You know, yeah. They'd put out a song, go, wow, this is great. And then the next one, wow, that one's even better. Right? So, you know, these things have accumulated to a point where you just don't appreciate some of the originals.
Yeah. That's a great analogy, John. It's so true. You forget how whacked out they were a year plus ago because of how crazy they are today, because things are obviously far worse today than they were a year ago. When you talk about the economy, inflation, foreign policy. So we're getting caught up in like the latest hits, but you're right. You go back to the originals and there's some good stuff.
Yeah.
There's some deep cuts here.
I want to request Circle Back or We're Making Sausage. Forget those.
Well, let's go to, we'll see if we can dig that one up at some point this morning. Let's go to one of my favorites as well. And this is actually from a year ago this week. A year ago this week, Jen Psaki, who's hanging him up here today, said this about inflation.
I will say, as we've said in here before, but we'll reiterate that, of course, we take the possibility of inflation quite seriously, as you know, actions that have been taken to date or proposals that have been made, most economic analysts have believed that it will have a temporary or transitory impact.
Whoopsie daisy, that wasn't exactly transitory, was it? As the inflation numbers came out this week at a red hot 8.3%. And by the way, it's been trending up for the last 7 months. Finally broke here by only 0.2 percentage points this month. We're still at 40-year highs on inflation. But 1 year ago this week, you had the White House trying to convince you that this whole inflation thing was transitory anyway. Don't worry, it's going to be fine. We just dumped $2 trillion on the economy unnecessarily. It's going to be fine. It's going to be don't you worry about us. It's going to be A-okay.
Show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
Ooh, boy, gosh, this is a fun trip down memory lane. And you can share in with us at 576-7710. The text line is 816-576-7710. 714 on a busy Friday morning here on KCMO. Our buddy Ken Coleman, he's a Dave Ramsey personality. He's going to join us bottom of this hour to talk about the economy, the jobs numbers, what is happening in the marketplace, and how people are just getting up and going and what that means for the economy. That's all coming up here on KCMO Talk Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM, and stream us on a Friday morning on your smartphone or smart speaker. I'm starting to get frustrated here. And I'm in a good mood. It's Friday. Happy Friday to you. Ken Coleman, Dave Ramsey personality, is going to join us on the economy and where things stand on that coming up here in about 15 minutes. But I am frustrated because we are within 90 days until the Missouri U.S. Senate primary, which will be once this Pennsylvania primary is done here in a little bit and this North Carolina primary is done here in a little bit. Missouri will be one of the most watched Republican primaries in the country. I mean, you've got notable candidates, five deep, who are running. And, you know, whoever the Republican nominee is will be obviously the favorite against the Democrat in Missouri. But you have five candidates, notable candidates, in Eric Schmidt, the attorney general, Eric Greitens, the former governor, Vicky Hartzler, the congresswoman right here in our neck of the woods, Billy Long in southwest Missouri, and Mark McCloskey of... what would you say? A viral fame, I guess? You know? I don't know. I don't know what the right way to describe McCloskey would be, but attorney, and obviously his claim to fame was standing up to the BLM rioters who were outside of his home two summers ago now. Mark's put on the hat. Mark's got the hat on. The McCloskey hat. 1 + 2 = free. that's First Amendment plus Second Amendment equals freedom. And McCloskey's been handing out these hats. He put them out at the Politics in a Pint. But you look so good in that red trucker hat, Mark. 1 + 2 = free.
Thank you.
Now, by the way, you had it. What'd you have on? A Chiefs hat? You kind of just swapped red hats.
Yeah, it goes with my shirt. So
yeah, let me see that original hat you had on there. Hold that up for me. Yeah, all right. Just a standard KC hat. Mm-hmm. Gosh, he's a natural. Look at him. Johnny looks so good.
Yeah.
Looks so good in that 1 + 2 = free McCloskey hat.
Need some Mundo in the Morning hats. Mark can be on the webpage with their pictures and, you know, modeling the hat.
That'd be fine with me. Little thumbs up, you know, double thumbs up, something like that. But
I can't mess up my hair.
No. John's got Mark the best hair this side of the Mississippi for a guy his age. So these guys are all in this race, and it's going to be a fun race to follow. But they are all finding reasons to not debate each other. Every single one of them. I mean, outside of Billy Long and Mark McCloskey, who have said, basically, give us a day that ends in Y. But that's natural. They don't have as much money as the other three, Greitens, Schmidt, and Hartzler. But I am going to make a deal out of this if they do not get on a debate stage between now and August 2nd. Because they owe it to you, the voters, the people of Missouri, to get on a debate stage and go mano a mano and talk out policies and issues. Instead of having their billionaire donors do their biddings through their ad agencies and their commercials on TV and radio, and yes, appearing on this show, which they all do and we appreciate them doing, they need to get into a debate. And, you know, the backdrop of all this as well is the fact that what's the phrase that every one of them uses? The word. How does each of them describe themselves? You know the word, right? Starts with an F. What would that word be? You know what the word is, John, right?
I do.
Well, why don't you share it with the audience?
Rocky Balboa is a fighter.
A fighter! Yeah. Ooh, flex!
I'm going to fight for you.
I'm a fighter!
I'm already fighting for you while you're sleeping.
Yes, I will fight.
I fought for you yesterday.
I will fight China. I will fight the left. I'm a fighter. Every single, all five of them use that word. And that's a fine word to use. I'm all on board. But don't give me this note, I'm a fighter, but I can't make the debate. It's not convenient. Is everyone else doing the debate? I keep hearing that come up. Because we're trying to organize one where I moderate it with the Jackson County Republicans. They put on the show. And, you know, it's something that obviously everyone around the state will be able to hear on KCMO Talk Radio. Or you could attend it in person as well. That's what we're trying to put together and make happen. And the amount of hemming and hawing and excuse making by the candidates, handlers, and everybody else involved, it's so weak and it's so lame. I don't want to hear you use the word fighter from anybody. And they're all guilty of this, by the way. Every single one of them outside of, like, as I mentioned, McCloskey and Long are guilty of this to some degree and in some capacity. They want to find a reason to not debate. They want to let the commercials, the advertisements, and everything else do the talking for them. And if you can't get on that stage and share your ideas with the people of Missouri in a debate setting, then I wouldn't have a lot of interest in you. I'm not saying you have to be the most energetic, the biggest personality. That's not what is important to me necessarily. I mean, you know, there's only, when it comes to debates and entertainment, there's only one Donald Trump, whether you love him or hate him. I'm not looking for a Trump clone in terms of funny one-liners and making fun of people on stage. That's not really the point. The point is, are you willing to just get into the ring and have a legitimate policy debate against the people you're running against? For, by the way, the people of your state who deserve that. Are you willing to do it? And I hope that something like this gets done. It should be a pretty easy thing to accomplish. Everybody should want to get on board. But it looks like, you know, it's going to be more difficult than many of us expected it to be. 5767710. Let's go to the phone and say hi to Callie and Lee Summit. Go ahead, Callie. Good morning.
Hi.
Hello, Callie. What's on your mind? Go ahead.
Hi. I'm the president of our new Turning Point USA club at my school in Lee Summit West, in Lee Summit, Missouri. And I have my secretary, Brecken Crowther, with me. And we started this club maybe 2 weeks ago, and we haven't even had our first meeting. And because it's the end of the year, we won't really do anything until next year. We just wanted to have one meeting next week to just kind of discuss, like,
are you on the staff, Callie, or are you a student?
Yes, I'm the president.
Okay.
No, I'm a student.
You're a student. Okay.
I'm the president. I'm the president of the club, but
so
I am
you
a
are
junior
the,
at.
You are the president of the conservative club at Lee Summit High School, Lee Summit West.
Yes.
Okay, great. So did something happen here that we need to be aware of? Something go wrong?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, so our school approved it. We had everything in order. We had our constitutional bylaws. We had literally our whole presentation done. They said it was one of the best presentations they've ever seen. And they approved our school. We put up like 60 flyers on Tuesday. All were taken down by Wednesday. Put up 80 more, almost maybe think a two are left, are still up. Like, and people are posting about ours. They're like talking about how they're going to raid our meeting on Tuesday and all that. And then we get called down to the administration, and they tell us that we cannot have this club because it cannot be, our school can't be represented by a national organization that promotes quote unquote hate speech, using their own words.
Are you really? I'm going to ask you, Callie, to do something. Can you email me or reach out to me on social media? Whether it's Facebook or Twitter, and I'll get more of this story from you, and we'll make this a news story for you, because that's, and I want to get more details as well, because that's absolutely ridiculous.
Absolutely ridiculous.
So Facebook or Twitter.
At our school, they have a black student union club and they have a gay sexuality club, but we can't have our club.
Wow. Yeah, I'm on Instagram as well, if that's a better way, Avenue. I know that's what the kids are using these days. So I've got all that stuff, Callie. But please do reach out to me or email pete.mundo@cumulus.com because I want to hear more about this. All right.
Okay, we'll do.
And we'll talk to you soon. Wow. That is.
Okay.
And Mark, can you just grab her information as well? Hang tight here, Callie. We'll get to you on the phone as well. Ken Coleman, Ramsey personality on the economy and the job market coming up next.
Kansas City's place to talk. Mundo in the morning.
Well, Pete, well, you nailed it. Finally, somebody nailed it from the media.
Join the conversation, Kansas City.
576-7710.
On KCMO.
What a joke. What an absolute joke. So yesterday you had kids around the metro walking out of school in support of abortion. Yeah, I kid you not. So this one story, students at Northgate Middle School in Kansas City, Missouri, organized a demonstration in support of abortion rights. The crowd of people, what do you think? Seniors in high school? Juniors, maybe? Nope. Middle school, 7th, 8th graders, that would be 12 to 14-year-olds who were out there going, rah, rah, abortion. We love abortion. 12-year-olds walking out of a middle school in Kansas City, Missouri. This was reported by Abby Dodge, KCTV 5. some of these students organized walkouts and, you know, they got, I don't know, looks like there are maybe 100 kids. I mean, they're just standing there on the football field. Like, this is so lame. It's a bunch of 12-year-olds who are like, yeah, sure, I'll skip class. What are we doing? Oh, Roe v. Wade, what's that, a boxing match? Yeah, sure, I'll go out there with you. I mean, these kids don't even, like, understand. I mean, I hope, I don't know, maybe I'm being naive here, but 12-year-olds really understanding sex and everything that comes with it? But, hey, they're experts on Roe v. Wade, apparently. I'm sure that they are just cream of the crop in understanding the background of Roe v. Wade. But then, even worse, you had hundreds of Johnson County students, about 200 at a Blue Valley North, walk out of class yesterday to protest the potential overturning of Roe v. Wade. And not only that, not only was it bad enough that, you know, a couple hundred kids walked out of Blue Valley North, they had a state senator there out of Overland Park, Cindy Holscher. If you drive around that part of Overland Park, you'll see her signs, or her signs were very up and at it here during the last election cycle. I feel like I can still see her sign in my head along 119th Street. But anyway, she was there speaking, giving remarks in front of the school. Now, what I want to find out is, was that school property, is that sanctioned by the school to have a state senator speaking on the importance of aborting and killing the unborn on school property? How does that work? Is that allowed? Was it just off of school property? These are questions that I have that I need to get answers on, John.
My conflating, was this during an act of truancy? Right?
Yeah. No, I mean,
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I got you.
I don't know. All I know is that this protest, they gathered in front of the school. They heard remarks from State Senator Cindy Holscher. And by the way, they're holding signs. Some of the signs the students are holding are saying vote no on Value Them Both, which is, of course, the important amendment being put forth by Kansans for Life. They spearheaded that. And you really want to vote yes on Value Them Both come August 2nd. So you've got kids who can't vote, by the way, and thank goodness they can't. Now, if Democrats had their way, you'd be voting at 10 years old. But they've got people who can't vote holding up signs outside of their high school. I mean, maybe some of them can vote if they're 18, but they certainly don't look like it. Standing outside, listening to a state senator talk about the importance of killing the unborn at Blue Valley North.
Weather permitting.
Yeah,
I don't know if there's a walkout going on today or not right now. Amazing how your convictions kind of wane with the forecast.
Yeah, yeah. A couple of raindrops may scare him off. But, you know, I'm looking at pictures from yesterday here. You can see it play out right now. In this speech, writes the Kansas City Star, Senator Cindy Holscher emphasized the importance of political engagement among students and encouraged those 18 and over to vote in Kansas's upcoming elections. She says right now we're controlled by extremists. There's a fringe group that's basically making a lot of decisions that impact you. We need good, reasonable people to fix that. Yes, those who want abortion on demand, they are the voices of reason. They very much are. 5767710. I got a lot of questions for Blue Valley North and how this went down. Wes in Gladstone. Go ahead, Wes. You are on KCMO Talk Radio. Happy Friday.
Yeah, I will give you an extremist. Pete Mundo in the morning. the middle schoolers, that's their perfect audience to get them young, man. I mean, get them when they're young and believe in this stuff. But think about middle school, okay? You know, you're starting to see peer pressure, blah, blah, blah. I don't think it's a good idea because how many kids didn't go to it, and now you're dividing the students on a moral and political issue that they really don't understand. That's not what education should be about. Because if you didn't go to it, it's because you don't lie, because you don't support abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember last week when you asked the mayor about Roe versus Wade?
Yes.
I got to thinking about after he was on. Wasn't he raised by a single mom on the east side of Kansas City?
I don't know his whole life story, but yes. I mean, that is, yes. He had uncles in his life and that were very important to him, but yes.
Yeah. If you listen to a lot of people who came out of the woodwork after they announced that decision, his mother would have been told or, you know, encouraged to get an abortion because he wasn't going to be able to amount to anything. She was going to have another mouth to feed that she couldn't afford. I'd like to ask him if he should have been aborted.
Les, it doesn't even need to get emotional because the facts are on our side, you know? Like, it doesn't.
Well, people are making the argument, well, if you're a single black mom on the east side of Kansas City or Detroit or wherever, you know, that's a crisis pregnancy and you don't need it in your life.
Wes, listen, the facts are on our side. There's no reason to get into that personal tit for tat. We know that a heartbeat starts at a few weeks. We know that, you know, especially when you get to the second trimester, these babies are feeling things in the womb. I'm not going to ask Mary Quinton Lucas about, whoa, you know, that's just trying to do that gotcha stuff. And when you have the facts on your side, there's no reason to do gotcha stuff. There just isn't. 5767710. News is coming up in a minute. Speaking of the mayor, though, thanks for the lead-in, Wes. He's going to be at the White House. We'll tell you why next. Well, the mayor of Kansas City is on his way. I saw him tweeting this morning from the airport. He's on his way to meet with Brandon. Yes, the mayor didn't ask me, by the way. I wish he would have. Hey, Pete, you know, we talked to him yesterday, as we do each and every Thursday morning. I wish the mayor would have said, hey, Pete, I'm going to the White House tomorrow. You got a message for the president I can pass on? It would have said, actually, yes, I do. Let's go, Brandon. Actually, yes, I do have a message, Mr. Mayor. If you could pass that on for me, that would be outstanding. I love that. Thank you very much. Unfortunately, I was not asked. So here we are. Mayor's going to the White House today, and he's meeting with mayors and police chiefs from cities around the country. So he's bringing Joe Maven, who's the interim police chief here in Kansas City, with him. They're both going to meet with Brandon today. And what's interesting is I guess what Joe is going to do is he is going to tell cities that they should spend COVID relief money on police and crime prevention. Now, I was told that, and by the way, I've been hearing reports how we need more money right now for COVID. You've been hearing these headlines. The White House is looking for more money for COVID. Yet at the same time, they're meeting today with our mayor, our police chief, and by the way, police chiefs and mayors around the city and telling them to use COVID money on policing. Well, if the COVID money is supposed to be for COVID and you're asking for more COVID money for whatever reason, why don't you actually just use the COVID money on COVID and just tell the city to fund the damn police department? I mean, just a novel concept, I know. I might be asking a lot.
Talk about a bombshell.
But it would seem to me that that would make a lot of sense. I mean, it's like, how did we ever fund police departments before we just handed out $1.9 trillion in, air quotes, COVID money? Wow. Gosh, how did that ever happen? I guess it's tough when you're giving $1 million here to, you know, KC tenants, $1 million there to bike paths, $5 million for green energy. I understand that it kind of adds up here, but I'm just wondering how the White House is genuinely saying to cities, spend money on COVID relief, spend money from COVID relief on policing, and then asking for more money for COVID. It just doesn't make any sense, right, to any, you know, thinking person. And then on top of that, I see some of the cities that are going to be in attendance here at this event, which I found interesting. And you've got Kansas City, Tulsa, Houston, Detroit. I mean, these are, on a per capita basis, some of those dangerous cities in America. It's like having a bunch of 400-pound people at the table trying to figure out weight loss. I mean, it's not exactly the people I would want to necessarily gather to try to figure out how to reduce crime, because in no way have they shown the capacity or ability to do that. I'm just, you know, also pointing that out. It's kind of interesting. Let's go to, cities that are struggling the most on this and have a roundtable on how to fix something we have not been able to fix. And until we get some admission from leaders at the top nationally, that being the White House and their handlers, to many in all of these cities and their leaders who over the last 2 years did more damage from not just policy, but also rhetoric to policing in America. They did more damage in 2 years than had really been done in the past 25 years combined. Until there's some mea culpa, until there's some admission of guilt in making these two of the most violent years that we have seen in decades, then I don't much want to hear from anybody on supposedly trying to find answers, right? I just don't. They have, whether it's directly or indirectly, some of these cities defunded the police, not just by specific policy and the attempts here in Kansas City, but by the rhetoric. I mean, we know, and we talked to Angie Rincono about this earlier in the week from KCTV5. She did a great feature on this, on the fact that police departments have no applicants. I mean, we know there's a hiring crunch around the country right now, but police departments have nobody applying for these jobs. And it's not just unique to Kansas City, Missouri, where obviously you're dealing with more violent crime, but it's also places like Gladstone, where they're down 19% in law enforcement officers. Kansas City, Missouri is down, 300 cops from its peak about 10 years ago to where they are today, with more retirements to come here in the next several months. So all of a sudden, these people are sitting around a table today at the White House, a bunch of brain surgeons trying to figure out what to do about violent crime. I mean, can we go back to literally two years ago at this time? Because 2 years ago at this time, things were still relatively normal. Most people across the political spectrum still respected cops. And then George Floyd happens, and obviously that was a terrible situation. The cop was charged and convicted of murder, but somehow that set off the conversation that every cop was racist. Putting Uncle Ben on the front of a rice container was racist, and basically everything was racist. And for the most part, the people who are going to be in this meeting today bought it and sold it and pushed it. And now I'm going to have to, you know, hear from them after a meeting today at the White House, this notion of, well, you know, I got to spend more money on police and crime prevention. Well, at least they're no longer trying to defund the police. But here's the problem. The last 2 years, you can dump as much money back in as you want. The last 2 years have set police departments back in many ways decades. At the very least, it's going to take years to get this thing back and ramped up. And the people that are going to be meeting today are, in many cases, responsible for that. From the people in charge of the White House, to mayors across the country, to prosecutors, by the way, who have been soft on crime. We've got one right here in Jackson County and Jean Peters Baker. So until any of them are going to look in the mirror and point the finger at themselves, at least, I mean, I know politicians don't generally do that anymore, but at least kind of somewhat point one finger in your own direction for 2 seconds. Until you're willing to do that, I really have no interest in hearing about how you're trying to fight crime. Just not. I mean, heck, remember 2 years ago, this summer, when we had Operation Legend come to Kansas City trying to fight and find the most violent criminals in our community? Remember that whole thing with Bill Barr, former attorney general under Trump? He came here. He was on this show, which was, I think, one of the highlights of the last 4+ years of the program, having Bill Barr on in Kansas City after he ate Joe's, by the way, after he ate Joe's. He was loving Joe's. He was having a Joe's hangover when we talked to him the next morning. Bill Barr was digging Joe. He was like, ah, that Joe's was outstanding. And even that was called wrong. There was this notion that federal law enforcement officers were going to be arresting people, and especially people of color, all over Kansas City, and it's going to be unfair, and none of that happened. Instead, they got some of those violent criminals off the streets in conjunction with KCPD. Literally everything, when it comes to the facts, everything that they've insinuated or tried to tell you when it comes to policing has been inaccurate. It's been wildly inaccurate. And I just need some admission of that before I start hearing about answers to violent crime from anybody in this space. I mean, heck, you know, even the notion that people need to be afraid of police officers because they're just out looking to hunt people or some nonsense like that. You know, we saw a 46% increase in murdered police officers from 2020 to 2021. 46% increase in murdered police officers by civilians. Meantime, when it comes to unarmed people getting killed by cops, that number is down significantly. You want the data? I'll just give you the data here because I'm that kind of a guy. I like running in data. So let's see. 2020, because, you know, we've been sold this lie that somehow if you're a black person anywhere in the country, cops are just, they're just looking to hunt people down, right? Well, let's see. 2020, 18 unarmed black individuals were shot and killed by police. Unarmed. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily being unarmed means it's an unjustful shooting, but either way, just to give you that number, 18. In 2021, the number was 6. That number has hovered between basically 6 and 23 dating back to 2016. 6 and 23 people across the country. Meantime, last year alone, we had 73 cops murdered. That's 12 times as many cops murdered by civilians last year than unarmed black people shot and killed by cops. Put that into perspective. Those are the facts. And until people are willing to deal in the facts, I'm not too interested in hearing from them on this topic. I'm just not. Josh Hawley's going to join us bottom of this hour here on KCMO Talk Radio. Look forward to having him on the show. Next, you know who's hanging him up today, right? Jen Psaki. We've been playing some of her best of clips from the last year and a half that she's been the White House press secretary. It's been a lot of fun. Just a little trip down memory lane. Let's do more of that coming up here on KCMO Talk Radio. Last day for the Sockster. Jen Psaki hanging up her socks, hanging up her cleats, whatever you want to use, whatever phrase you want to take for Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, who is leaving her post as of today, last day on the job. And she's going to MSNBC from one sinking ship to another. I mean, this is, gosh. It's like you're jumping off the Titanic and then you're into a rowboat that's, you know, got a hole in it. It's not a good situation, but that's what Psaki's decided to do. So I went back in time and I had some fun with this morning before the show. I was going through, you know, we've got files where I can pull up every soundbite we've ever used from Jen Psaki since she took over the job for Brandon back in January of last year. And, you know, I could have done 4 hours on this, but, you know, I got hit other topics today. So, yeah. So just some of the favorite Jen Psaki clips. Where do we want to go? Let's go to, let's see. Oh, this is one of my favorites. All right, so here is Jen Psaki in January when she was asked a very simple question. I mean, you guys are talking about COVID and everything around COVID, and all right, that's well and good. Want to make sure people are staying safe. What about like making sure people are living healthier lifestyles based on what we know about COVID, who it's most likely to impact if you're older, overweight, in bad health? Like, shouldn't that be part of the plan here from the White House? Shouldn't they encourage people to eat healthier, to exercise? Heck, even Michelle Obama did that. That was a big thing for her. What about that, Jen Psaki? What do you think? Here we go.
Why isn't the president included a push for healthier lifestyles in his COVID messaging in addition to pushing Americans to get vaccinated?
Well, first, we rely on the advice and guidance of our public health officials on how to best protect yourself from hospitalization and death from COVID. And we know that the most effective steps anyone can take are to get vaccinated, get boosted, wear a mask. And those are the steps that we're certainly focusing on. If they decide those are steps that are warranted and have a huge impact on outcomes and they want to share those, we'd certainly echo those. But we really refer to our public health officials and experts.
So that hasn't been a advice from the public health officials that the president's been speaking to?
Again, we do briefings with our public health officials every week, multiple times a week. And I think what's most important to note is what we know is most effective, which is getting vaccinated, getting boosted, wearing a mask. And those are the components and the steps that we're really focusing our attention on encouraging.
But if you're 400 pounds, I mean, it's totally fine. And you smoke and you know, drink a 10, 12 pack and, you know, everything else. So, but you'll be fine. Don't worry about losing weight or making your health style or your health a little bit, you know, better. Don't worry about that. Just, you know, do what they're telling you to do. Wear a cloth mask, which doesn't really work.
Now, so, one area where inflation hasn't hit is that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
Still, even adjusted for inflation.
Even.
So,
gosh.
You know, if you did a little exercise and some vitamins, lay off the ho-hos.
That's right, John. That's right. So here's another favorite of Jen Psaki. This was also back in January. Yeah, that was a hell of a week she had back in January, late January. When, remember there was all the uproar over voting rights, like Republicans are trying to prevent people from voting or something like that. It was like, yeah, because if you want voter ID, somehow that's racist because what? Latinos and Black Americans don't have IDs, aren't capable of learning how to get IDs. I mean, everything about it was actually reverse racism and wildly insulting to anybody who functions no matter what your skin color is. But anyway, here she was talking about how this big voting rights bill had failed and what people should do about it. Let's roll this gem from Jen Psaki on her last day on the job.
Where do you see a path forward at this point?
Well, the path forward is we have to keep fighting. Look, I think this week has been frustrating, devastating, angering, all of those things. And everybody who's been fighting for this, there's so many activists across the country who've been so central to getting to this point. I mean, just a year ago, there were more people who were opposed to filibuster changes in the Senate. So we've made some progress on that front, but we've got to stay at it. So my advice to everyone out there who's frustrated, sad, angry, pissed off, feel those emotions, go to a kickboxing class, have a margarita, do whatever you need to do this weekend, and then wake up on Monday morning. We got to keep fighting. And what that means, Lindsay, is we have to keep talking to members about federal legislation. That's essential. That's something that can be permanent.
Have a margarita this weekend. You'll be fine. Everything will be great. You will totally enjoy. Just have that marg, and we'll see you Monday. Keep fighting.
Have that margarita. The time has come to do what we do every day.
And that time is now. That time is now.
Bottoms up, ladies.
There you go.
It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day.
Yep, just keep doing what you're doing every day. Put a little salt on the rim for the morg, and away you go into the weekend. Sail into the sunset, baby. Life is good. Life is good. Woo! Jen Psaki, hanging up the socks. I'm going to miss her, you know? She was so likable. She was so authentic. She was such a joy. And now she's leaving as White House press secretary. Really is a shame. So many good one-liners, too, over the last year and a half. I can't believe it. I thought that would have been 4 years of content. But for Jen Psaki, it was only 18 months of content. I can't believe it. Gosh. Oh. Got to give you one of my favorites here as well.
So when a huge group of criminals organizes themselves and they want to go loot a store, a CVS, a Nordstrom, a Home Depot, until the shelves are clean, you think that's because of the pandemic?
I think a root cause in a lot of communities is the pandemic. Yes. Go.
Oh, gosh. Can't make it up. All right. Josh Hawley's going to be here. Don't miss him. Next, Pete Mundo on a Friday on KCMO. Happy Friday. Made it to the weekend. Great to be with you on KCMO Talk Radio. Don't forget, stream us from the office at kcmotalkradio.com, at home, Alexa, Google Home, whatever it might be, or, of course, on the iHeart app as well. All right. It's Friday. Let's do it.
It's time to buy. Buy. Sell.
I'm at an end. 12 and a half, 15.
And hold.
Okay, John Anthony, let it rip. What do you got? Three questions for us here.
Buy, sell, or hold. Supreme Court will release the decision on Roe v. Wade Monday.
I'm selling that. There are some rumblings and reports that the official overturning of Roe could come from the Supreme Court on Monday when they start rolling out some of their decisions. They should release it Monday. For the sake of everybody, just get it over with if it's, done and in the books. But something tells me that it is not going to happen. I hope that it does. Let me be very clear. But do I believe that Monday is going to be the day that it's just going to come out and they're going to say, yep, here it is. You already saw the leak. Take it and run with it and, start hemming and hawing and screaming and shouting over your talking points like Elizabeth Warren has done over the last week and a half, like a psychopath. But I don't see it happening. I don't. I think it's going to take a little bit longer. I can't say why, but I am selling that one, John. I'm not on board there just yet.
All right, here's another one then. Buy, sell, or hold. Kansas Governor Laura Kelly will get a big lift in reelection since she axed the tax with the grocery tax.
Sell. I think that, it'll look good for her on commercials for Governor Kelly to say, hey, I signed the bill to ax the grocery tax, which, the grocery sales tax in Kansas is going away. She signed the bill, 2 days ago in Olathe at a Hy-Vee. I'm just imagining John walking into the Hy-Vee being like, damn it, I'm just here for a couple of apples. I got some bodyguard following me up and down the aisle.
Real quick, have you seen her commercial where she's walking down the middle of the road?
Laura Kelly's?
Red sweater on. She does the wax on, wax off. She's going, I'm neither on the left or the right. And it goes like wax on, wax off.
So I have not seen that. Really?
Yeah, it's on here on sometimes this morning. Anyway.
Really?
Wax on, wax off.
I got to see that one.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I've not seen that one. I've heard about it. I've seen the one with Trump, but this is a new one. Okay.
Yeah, this is a different one.
Interesting. All right. I got to check that out. Now, here's the thing for Laura Kelly. She's a Democrat in what is going to be a red wave year. Now, I think she'll hold her own. I do. I think she'll exceed expectations from some, but she's still, just because of that D next to her name, in a year that Republicans are going to clean up, and it affects everybody, even though, you can sit here and say, well, is inflation really Governor Kelly's fault? No, it's Joe Biden's fault. But this is what happens down the ballot. Everyone's going to pay a political price. And Laura Kelly's going to, do as John said, the wax on, wax off, not left, not right, the whole thing. She's going to brag about cutting the grocery sales tax, which is being phased out by 2025. From 6.5% to 0%. It's going to go down to 4% in January, then 2% in January 2024, and then 0% in January of 2025. But remember, they don't have a way to make up the hundreds of millions of dollars that the state brings in from the grocery sales tax. So that's a problem down the road. But for re-election, people are still going to say, hey, listen, first off, let's not forget that she shut down the schools as early as anybody. Let's not forget that. That's something that Derek Schmidt should bring up every day of the campaign. All right, the issue of schools and shutting down the schools. And cutting the groceries tax is nice, but let's also not forget that, you know, she had a similar bill on her desk a couple of years ago and wasn't on board with it. So for those paying attention, this may look good in a commercial. Do I think it saves her in a re-election bid? I do not. But I'm also, last thing, I'm also more optimistic for Derek Schmidt than a lot of Republicans that I hear from around Kansas. I'm just throwing that out there, too. So gotcha. We'll see. What's next?
Okay. Buy, sell, or hold. Kansans will be able to legally bet on sports by the Chiefs' home opener, which is what? September
11th. 11th. 11th in Arizona against the Cardinals. Yes.
Okay. I thought they were home on the 15th. They turn right back around, don't they?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Ouch.
No resting that first week of the season. Sunday into Thursday night football for the home opener.
Could be a big week then if they can bet legally, huh?
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. You got a big injection into the economy around Kansas. All right. So anyway, to your question of buying, selling, or holding sports betting legalized in Kansas by the opener, I'm buying that. I'm buying it. I think Kansas is going to do everything it can to get that thing done by the start of the NFL season. Let's be honest. If they wait till January, which was the original expectation, you know, you'll get to bet the week 17, week 18, and then hopefully the playoffs. But Kansas wants that injection right now. And by the way, just from a pure business model, now that Missouri's not going to have sports betting, because the Goobers in Jeff City just, I mean, what a bunch of donkey's rear ends that you've got down in Jeff City. But I'll put that aside for a second. Kansas would be wise from a pure business perspective to get this done ASAP, because you know what's going to happen? People are going to get in their routines of crossing the state line, going to whatever their favorite location is, get the businesses up and running, and really feel this thing out during the entire NFL season. Have an entire NFL season, well, let's be honest, more people are likely to bet on sports than, say, the NBA season or the NHL season. No offense to those sports, but, you know, football is obviously cream of the crop. Getting that off and running by September 11th would be a huge boon to Kansas on this front. And I think they obviously know that. So the bill goes into law. I guess it becomes law on July 1st. So that gives them 2 months and change to figure out how to implement this by the start of the Chiefs season, September 11th, against the Cardinals in Arizona. How about that? So I'm going to buy that. I'm going to buy that one and think it ultimately gets done. 5767710. There's buy, sell, hold. We do it every Friday morning here on KCMO Talk Radio. What is the administration's response to this baby formula shortage? They kind of had a wishy-washy response. It was very unimpressive. And on top of that, a new report says this baby formula shortage could last months. We'll get you those details coming up next on KCMO Talk Radio.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.